a low this evening of about 61 degrees. On Wednesday, becoming partly sunny with a high of 76. Currently, it's 70 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We start this hour by heading into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And with me in the KRVS studios is Gerald Gilbo, who is the conductor of the Lafayette Concert Band, here to talk about their annual Christmas concert. And I'm looking at your little flyer here, Gerald, and there's snowflakes falling. Not exactly the way it is outside right
now.
Well, but
I was thinking about that driving over here. This is December, and it's muggy, and it's a bad hair day for a lot of people. I'm going to ask the maintenance department to crank up the air conditioning on Sunday and get it down to about 40 or 45 degrees.
I have a few flakes floating over the stage. That's all right. This is Louisiana, December and Christmas, and we have that in our hearts.
Exactly.
You know, that wintry feeling.
And we don't need temperature.
No.
Our music will get you in the Christmas spirit.
And it has year after year for so many people. I know they anticipate and look forward to this concert. So, again, remind us about the Lafayette Concert Band and y'all's place in the community and just your enthusiasm for music.
Lafayette Concert Band is an all-adult volunteer musical organization. We were founded in 1982, and we've been around for that long, almost 30 years. And we rehearse once a week and put on 5 to 6 concerts a year. And on Sunday is our last concert of our season, our annual Christmas Traditions concert. Mm-hmm. We're a group of 75, 80 folks who enjoy making music together and performing for the community. And we encourage anyone who's had an instrument stuck in the closet, getting cobwebs on it, to dust it off and give us a call and come and join us. And there's nothing unique about waiting 20, 25 years after playing the instrument in high school or college and saying, well, you know, I want to do something for myself. The kids are grown now. They're out of the house, or they can take care of themselves. And then on Tuesday night for 2 hours, I just want to get away and envelop myself with the music. And that's what we do. We a lot of people have told me it's like therapy, going to therapy for 2 hours and just floating away, letting the music consume you. And hopefully we keep that going for a good while.
Well, and I think you impart that to the audience as well. I mean, your enthusiasm is palpable coming from the stage with the performers and the music that you all choose.
We try to have fun. Mm-hmm. Classical music tends to be a little stuffy and staid in many instances. And we try to broaden our audience and play something that people may not like everything we play, but there'll be something that we'll play that they'll enjoy.
Well, your choice of band literature is always wonderful. And you've also scheduled these concerts throughout the year, so they have some kind of theme or holiday connected with some commemoration of something. And I think people really appreciate that sort of the rhythm of the year that you all reflect.
I hadn't thought about that, but it is kind of a rhythmical type of thing. Our Christmas concert, we do a concert for Memorial Day, which is probably our most popular concert. And several others out in the park, and Cadian Village in April, and we've got one coming up in February, and then our October concert kind of opens up that fall season.
Yeah.
But we really have a good time, and we got a super program this Sunday, and just a wonderful guest soloist. Graham Breedlove is a local boy, grew up here, went to school at Como High School, went over to LSU, got a degree in music, went up to Indiana, and got his master's degree, and he's now the lead trumpet player for the Army Jazz Band, the Army Band in Washington, D.C., and just a fine player and fine young man. And we're really looking forward to having him here
in
town.
He's coming home for Christmas.
He's coming home, yeah. He told me, I talked with him on Sunday. He said, oh, man, I can't wait to get home, you know. And I mentioned the weather to him, and he said, oh, great.
Too many snowflakes up there.
Exactly.
Well, so Graham Breedlove will be joining you.
Right.
How many selections will he play with you?
He's going to do three tunes, and we're kind of deviating from the total Christmas type thing. We can do some jazz because he's a jazz player. Alan Vizzuti, a fine trumpet player and composer, wrote the American Jazz Suite about 20 years ago. And Graham is going to play that. Just a great piece of music. Shows off his skill and talent tremendously, and shows off the band's talents too. It's not an easy piece for us to play, and we're going to wrap it all up tonight at tonight's rehearsal. And then he'll do a tune called Blue Prelude, which was written by Gordon Jennings, but years ago, Jack Pickering was a member of the music department here and a great arranger, and the library here is filled with some of his arrangements. He wrote an arrangement of Blue Prelude for Harry St. Pierre, who was a young man at the time. Harry is not so young anymore, but still playing. And Jack wrote this arrangement specifically for Harry St. Pierre. And when I mentioned it to Graham, he knew the connection, and he said, I want to do that tune. So we're going to add that into our program also. And then we've got a special treat at the end of the concert that I'm not going to divulge. A little surprise.
Well, and, you know, those jazz pieces always sound festive, whether specifically Christmas or not. They really add to that wonderful energy that I know you try to impart to the Christmas concert. So in addition to Graham Breedlove and these lovely jazz compositions and arrangements, tell us about some of the Christmas pieces.
Well, we're going to open up with a tune called The Fireside Christmas, which is arranged by Sammy Nestico in a kind of a swing style. And one of the tunes that the band is really hyped up about is a new piece of music entitled Minor Alterations. We're going to open the second half of that. Most Christmas carols, as you mentioned, are nice, bright, and cheery, and in major keys. David Louvrian, who wrote this piece, took I think there are 19 different carols, and he changed the key and put them in a minor key. And instead of 2-4 time, he writes them in 3-4 time, or instead of 3-4 time, he writes it in 4-4 time, and changes around minor alterations to all these tunes. There, most of them are easily recognizable. Some of them he's hidden really, really well, and it. He uses the gamut, everything from Nightmare Before Christmas to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it's a wonderful piece. And we're going to play hide-and-seek with the audience on this one, try to find the tune as we play it. Mm-hmm. But the band is really excited about it. It's something new and different, and we're really having a good time with it.
Well, and you're right, hide-and-seek with such familiar songs. we enjoy that.
Exactly.
You know, looking for it, those hidden pictures and tunes in there. But again, many pieces that people will recognize. And
good Swing Wenceslas is, you know, a takeoff on that carol, Silent Night, a beautiful arrangement by Julie Giroux. And then we can have a Christmas sing-along where the audience gets to sing their favorite carols. And Jubilant Holiday that Alex Hilliard, our assistant conductor, will conduct. A beautiful setting of In Dulce Jubilo that everyone will recognize. And then we'll end the program with Sleigh Ride, and everybody can watch our special guests show up. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe on a sleigh?
We're going to leave that open.
If you are just tuning in, my guest is Gerald Gilbo, his conductor of the Lafayette Concert Band. He'll be assisted by Alex Hilliard, and their special guest artist will be Graham Breedlove from Lafayette, and he's returning, doing some wonderful jazz pieces, and then beautiful Christmas selections as well. So a great way to enjoy the holidays and enjoy local music and really support the efforts of all of these people in the community band.
And we forgot to mention, it's at 3:30 this coming Sunday, right here on campus in the Duke Ray Guilford Auditorium at Angell Hall.
So it's great for members of the family of all ages.
Sure,
kids, older people, people who...
kids under 12 are admitted in free.
All right.
So bring
and
the kids.
I know some people have series tickets, and they can certainly use those.
Use the season tickets. We sell individual tickets for $10, general admission, and you can purchase them at a desk in the lobby prior to the concert.
All right. That's the Lafayette Concert Band, their Christmas Traditions concert. It will be in the Duke Gray Guilfrey Auditorium in Angell Hall this Sunday, 3 o'clock. All are invited, and you can get your tickets at the door.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
KRVS Lafayette, Lake Charles.
And joining me in the KRBS studios this afternoon are Harold Scheffler, who is the chairman of the Acadian Group of the Sierra Club, and also Forrest Wright, who is the energy policy specialist with the Alliance for Affordable Energy out of New Orleans. They're here to talk about a public forum that will take place in Lafayette this Thursday, the 6th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Lafayette South Regional Library. And the topic is Powering Lafayette's Electrical Future. And as we were saying, people in this community are starting to get used to this idea of public forums and participating. There have been a number of things that have happened recently that have opened up topics to the community and really encouraged people to attend. So we're going to talk about this public forum, which is particularly about energy. And the public forum is being sponsored by the Lafayette League of Women Voters and the Sierra Club. And a number of people are participating. The guest speaker will be Simon Mahan, who is a renewable energy manager with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. So a lot of participants in this public forum for Thursday. So I think we'll start off maybe locally, Harold, and tell us how the League of Women Voters and the Sierra Club came up with this idea for a public forum.
You know, the world of energy is changing enormously. In the last 3 or 4 years, Lafayette's support of that change, the fact that gas has become plentiful, dependable, and affordable, low price, is changing the world of energy. And then the process of producing electricity from that product is super efficient compared to other processes. And you know, Lafayette has had a 116-year history of producing their own electricity. And it's been a marvelous success story. But with the changes that are coming, we hope that a citizens committee could be formed that would thoroughly investigate the opportunities for renewable, for solar, for wind, for natural gas turbines and combined cycle and so forth. All these things, and energy conservation, all these things be looked at in a serious way. Studied carefully and come up with a plan for Lafayette's energy future. This was done with recycling. The mayor and council admitted they didn't have the time to really study it, so they appointed a committee of about 10 or 15 people who met for about a year that made recommendations that were completely adopted, mm-hmm. which gave Lafayette an edge as one of the most advanced recycling community in the country. Mm-hmm. It's something we can awfully be proud of. And it only happened because citizens volunteered, not being paid, stepped up to the plate and made some wonderful, marvelous decisions.
Now, you're not asking that these people who show up on Thursday work for a whole year.
No. No.
This is an open forum. They're not going to be, there's no responsibility than just the meeting on Thursday.
Right.
But Forrest, I know, has been very involved with this in New Orleans, and they're a little bit further along in the process than Lafayette. We're just kind of getting started on it. So maybe, Forrest, you can tell us how y'all's journey has been, because I know you're going to be a great help on Thursday to help people see what kind of a process could happen in this.
Well, this is indeed the start of a conversation, and it's so valuable to, as a community, come together, bring ideas together, and set a vision. Where would Lafayette like to be in meeting its energy needs now, going forward, and into the future? So New Orleans indeed has started this process with integrated resource planning. Basically, it's a 20-year plan that looks at all energy options and has a structured approach to finding the most cost-effective, the most reliable, the least risky. But the most important thing is it gives the city of New Orleans the ability to identify where it wants to go over those next 20 years and to start on the path to get there. And in Lafayette, this history of engagement on recycling, as Harold mentioned, on optic fiber and the high-speed internet, on the master planning that's been happening, all of this shows that community knowledge is a valuable and important part of public process, and it's part of bringing Lafayette to the future, a place where people want to be.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Lafayette's even more uniquely positioned to deal with this issue than even New Orleans was because of the way our utilities are structured.
We're not regulated by the Public Service Commission. Mm-hmm. We're an independent provider of electricity and have been since 1896.
So the public has even a better chance of participating in this conversation.
Absolutely. We do have control of our destiny much better than a community like New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
That's the exciting and interesting thing as well. With a municipally owned utility, your customers and your shareholders are the same people. In the city of New Orleans, we have an investor-owned utility, and there are kind of a tension in terms of the interests and priorities between a business that is there to make money and customers, of course, that would like to pay as little as possible but get the kind of service that they want. But in Lafayette, the ability to actually bring those two considerations together, how as a company will LUS operate and what priorities the public has that they'd like to see the company put into place. And so that's what the conversation is about. That's where everyone can come, first of all, find out some great information about the various options for meeting our energy needs, what's in place presently, what are some of the choices coming up. Because, of course, if you look over a 20-year time horizon, there are going to be some power plants that need to be retired or some decisions made on where to purchase new energy or whether to invest in energy efficiency or renewable energy. All of those people in Lafayette would benefit to know a little bit more about and definitely to share their views.
And we're talking about Lafayette Parish.
Yeah. So LUS serves the city of Lafayette, not Lafayette Parish. Okay. Lafayette Parish served by other providers, Entergy, Slemco, whole list of them, Clayco also.
We have a lot of public listening to us right now, Harold, but I'm sure many of them are wondering, am I really the one they're talking to? Who should attend this public
especially
forum?
Those who are paying the rates, you know, the 35,000 households that are in Lafayette, they all are on LUS. And, of course, the businesses have a key part because they pay the lion's share of the rates. It's the business that pay a big hunk of the rates.
So really anyone using utilities is invited to attend this public forum. Anyone with a stake, they're all stakeholders in this.
We're stakeholders, we're owners, as Forrest had pointed out. And so we have this, you know, I guess somewhat of a duty and obligation to bring sunlight into this decision-making process and help the decision makers to understand what our needs are and how those needs can best be met.
Well, and then I'm sure they're wondering what kinds of observations can I bring to a public forum like this? How am I actually going to participate at a forum? Again, we're talking about a public forum taking place this Thursday at the South Regional Library in Lafayette. It starts at 6:30. All are invited. But what are you hoping that the public will do? Give us, and perhaps you've done this in New Orleans, but what happens in a public forum like this?
I would say bring your ideas, because there's nothing like the public hearing to bring ideas. And I would cite an example that we're trying to figure out how to get big barges to Alaska through our channels. And someone in the back of the audience said, oh, just build a little canal around the locks and y'all can do that. So, wow, can we do that? Well, it's a half a mile around the locks, and we'd have to dredge 30 miles across the bay in the Gulf to do the same thing. And so that idea is just an example how the public hearing does a wonderful job of bringing these wonderful ideas to the forefront that maybe someone had never thought of. Mm-hmm. Certainly we didn't when we were trying to figure out how to get, you know, 2,000 jobs done at the Port of Iberia and get barges to Alaska.
So all kinds of ideas can come out in a public forum.
That's the wonderful part of the public process in our democracy, that these ideas that maybe decision makers haven't thought of will come up with and say, you know, there's a better mousetrap here.
Well, let's talk about how the evening will go on Thursday. What can people expect when they go? What kinds of information? How is it going to be structured? Maybe.
Sure. So there will be a opening remark that sets the tone, that frames what the goals are, which, again, is to provide information so that people have an understanding of how Lafayette meets its energy needs and also can look at some of the resources, some of the strategies that are being used in other parts of our state or region that Lafayette might consider. There will be a great presentation by Simon Mahone. I've seen it. It is both detailed and very informative. It sort of looks at energy issues from a variety of angles. And Afterwards, there'll be an opportunity for questions, but a more open conversation as well that is a place where people can convey what their priorities are, what they feel is important in how Lafayette meets their energy needs over the next 20 years, to be able to make specific recommendations, as Harold has mentioned, even to be looking at how the decisions that define where we meet our energy affects our economy. And that's where business perspective is absolutely very valuable in this. It looks at rates. It looks at job creation, depending on the decisions that we make about where we meet our energy. So all of that, and then, of course, a discussion at the end on where to go from here. So the hope is that the interest will be there for people to continue to work together and to put those ideas together going forward into the next year.
Well, so you're looking at individual households, you're looking at businesses, anyone, again, who is interested in the future of Lafayette, anyone who has to pay a bill. So really it affects all of us in the city of Lafayette who are living here.
Absolutely.
And working here.
And, you know, we build it on a knowledge of maybe like the European countries are very heavily involved in renewable, very successfully. England's going to be 100% renewable by 2020. You know, Germany now is 20% renewable, will be 35% by 2015. And we're way far behind that. That may not be for Lafayette, but those issues are out there. And then the grid system itself, the opportunity for each home, each building to do a better job in conserving energy. Issues like transformers that are inefficient, sending power long ways and you lose a lot of it and there's better ways to do it. All these ideas need to be explored to the benefit of more dependable electricity and lower cost.
And perhaps share it as a community and people given the opportunity to discuss the merits. And I like the way you said earlier, Forrest, about we don't want to be caught looking in the rearview mirror.
That's right.
So really that's what you're giving people in a forum like this, is the opportunity to not be caught by surprise and to look at all of the options.
That's right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, tell us a bit more about the guest speaker, Simon Mahan. You've heard him give his presentation before.
Well, I've seen his actual presentation for this. Again, he's just a very knowledgeable person on the issues of how you plan for your energy needs. He is looking at a lot of the specific choices that are out there. But one thing that's really nice is that he has done the homework to get down to some of the specific figures that we can look at in a comparative way. Ultimately, we want to be taking all these best ideas and putting them on the table. At the end of the day, there's going to need to be a very practical analysis. There's going to be a need to look at which options are viable, available, which options are most cost-effective.
Make the most sense.
So that you are getting real solutions that the community can embrace.
All right.
When you look at the renewables, wind is coming way down. Solar's astronomically in a nosedive in terms of lower costs. And that's because the world is changing to that. And so we're at a turning point in this whole energy world, the availability of gas. But not only that, the technology that produces power from gas is combined cycle. You have a turbine engine, the same that fits on our jet aircraft, that is air-cooled, doesn't use water at all in cooling, super efficient. You know, these engines are 35% efficient. Then when the combined cycle exhaust is heating water to produce steam turbine power on the same generator, that bumps it to 55 to 60% efficient. So that beats the dickens out of our old gas-fired plant that's at 6%.
So a lot of great information will be transferred on Thursday evening. Right. Obviously, there is a lot of it out there, and it's hard for all of us to keep up with that knowledge, with the information, with research.
And that's the idea of putting a committee together to really explore the ideas and bring recommendations to the community, to the council, and the mayor.
All right. Again, if you are just tuning in, we're talking about a public forum that will be held this Thursday. It's sponsored by the Lafayette League of Women Voters and the Sierra Club. Right. It's open to everyone starting at 6:30. The guest speaker will be Simon Mahan, the Renewable Energy Manager with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. My guests are Harold Scheffler, Chairman of the Acadian Group of the Sierra Club. Also, Forrest Wright, who is the Energy Policy Specialist with the Alliance for Affordable Energy and has been very involved in New Orleans with a similar process, although their utilities are set up in a different way than ours. But as you mentioned, that gives us all the more the edge in Lafayette to be able to do that. So the public forum, open to everyone. Lots of information will be available, discussion, questions. Out of that, what happens at that point? You mentioned a committee. What can people expect to happen after this public forum?
We would hope that, the mayor and our council move forward and appoint a committee. And we don't expect to do that, and we may not be included, but we would hope that they would come up with citizens that, you know, would have the time to study and really debate and look at all these options and bring the decision process to the council in form of a recommendation, which they don't have to follow at all.
Well, and again, a group of citizens who have been to a forum like this and listened to all of the stakeholders who participated in a public forum.
Well, and we're going to be hearing about decisions around energy now and in the future. The nice thing about the meeting coming up is that you get to lend your voice. You get to hear about some of the considerations before they come in the news and the decision has already been made. You get to be a part of that. So the real hope, of course, is that this is a conversation that brings, and we're already hearing that people from LUS are coming, civic leaders are coming, nonprofit members are coming, obviously from the Sierra Club and the League of Women Voters, that citizens are coming, that economic development folks are coming. This is the gathering of people that you would want to be able to set that forward-looking vision, and you get a chance to be a part of that if you come out on Thursday.
All right, this Thursday, that is a public forum entitled Powering Lafayette's Electrical Future, 6:30. It starts at the South Regional Library in Lafayette on Johnston Street. For more information about this, is there something on the website for the League of Women Voters? Or I know people are always looking for Facebook or a website where they can find out a little more information, Harold?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, perhaps on the Lafayette Public Library's website, they may have a listing for the meeting.
The League of Women Voters will have it on their website.
All right, they can look for that as well. I'm thinking of people driving, not having a way to write all of this down.
Right.
So maybe Lafayette League of Women Voters or the South Regional Library here in Lafayette. And, of course, you can look at some of these other organizations for more information about how they have handled this process in their own communities as well. Well, thank you both for coming by to let us know about this public forum, again, sponsored by the Sierra Club and the Lafayette League of Women Voters, with special guest speaker Simon Mahan, and all are invited, all the shareholders, the stakeholders in the city of Lafayette. Thank you both.
Hey, thank you
for having us. Thank you so much for having us.
now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. In Lake Charles, the McNeese Department of Performing Arts will present the McNeese Choirs in a free, mostly holiday concert this evening, 7:30 in the Sherman Fine Arts Theater. Daryl Jones will be directing the choirs, and all are invited, again, free and open. Also this evening on the UL campus in the Alumni House, the Alumni Center, from 5 to 7, the UL Press will have their annual holiday book sale. Lots of their new titles that have been released this year, as well as most of their back catalog, will be available there. And there will be music and food, and a number of the authors will be there signing books. John Slaughter will be signing his book called Grankato. Also, Dr. Robert Carricker will be signing copies of his Boudin book, all published by the UL Press. That's tonight, 5 to 7 at the UL Alumni Center, the UL Press Holiday Book Sale. You can take a look at some of their titles by going to their website, which is ulpress.org. And the city of Lake Charles presents a Swamp Pop Christmas concert Wednesday evening, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Central School Theater. The Little Band of Gold will be there performing their holiday music. Tickets are available through LouisianaCrossroads.org, or you can go stop by the Arts and Humanities Council of Southwest Louisiana or at the door. There will be a public forum Thursday evening at the South Regional Library in Lafayette entitled Powering Lafayette's Electrical Future, a public forum. All are invited to attend. And Little Band of Gold will be in Lafayette Thursday and Friday evenings at the Acadiana Center for the Arts for the Louisiana Crossroads Christmas Concert, their Swamp Pop Christmas Pageant. Tickets are available by calling the ACA or going to the Louisiana Crossroads website. Again, Thursday and Friday, and KRVS will be carrying the Friday concert on our airwaves, so you can tune in at 7 o'clock for that concert given by a Little Band of Gold. The Hub City Theater and Storytelling Festival will run December 6th through the 9th at Cité des Arts. There will be original works, plays, storytelling, reading, street performances, and also a contest. They're calling it the Liars Contest, meaning the honorable practice and art of the tall tale. That's all during the Hub City Theater and Storytelling Festival. For more information, stop by their website, Cité des Arts, or call Christy Lichty at Cité. On Thursday, running through Sunday, Firelight Performing Arts will present Scrooge the Musical. They will perform in UL Lafayette's Burke Hall. Tickets will be available at the door, or you can call 337-962-0306. Call Firelight Performing Arts. The Tea Sippers, a local youth theater troupe, will continue their run of the effects of gamma rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds. That will be at Cité des Arts this weekend, Friday and Saturday evenings. Tickets will be available at the door. Also running this weekend, Through Thick or Thin, a local original play by Trina Tappo, and we'll be speaking with her next week about that play. And this Saturday is Second Saturday Art Walk in downtown Lafayette. Galleries up and down Jefferson Street will be open. We'll be speaking with Giuliano Cesari and Mary Bate about Giuliano's exhibit at the Acadiana Center for